I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Excuse me. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I actually dealt with this same passage, not same passage, but Mark's record or Matthew's record of this passage actually on a Wednesday night Bible study. So this may sound familiar to you, but God showed me something very different from this passage of Scripture. Starting in verse 18, say amen when you found it. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, in verse 18, it says, the disciples of John reported to him about all these things. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? When the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? At that time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. To what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, we have played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We have sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he hath a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I just come to you, God, with praise and thanksgiving, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you give me the opportunity to preach your word, God. I ask you to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, God. Forgive me of anything, Father God, that would hinder me from being used this morning, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are going to restore lives, Father God, today through your word. I thank you, God, that souls are going to be saved, Father God. Lord, I thank you, God, that your word is going to go out and accomplish that what you purpose, God. And Lord, we just give you the praise, Father God, for that. And the church said, amen and amen. The title of this message is Chained by Expectations. You know, expectations can be misleading. I remember being in the parts business, being a counter salesman. I dealt with a lot of people over the phone, all over South Georgia, Northern Florida, and I mean, even some way off in other states, even all the way to the West Coast in Oregon and Washington, I would talk to these people on the phone. And as I talked to them on the phone, in my mind's eye, I would always kind of imagine what they looked like. You've done it. Imagine what they had looked like, maybe, you know, what their place of business looked like that they were calling from. And in my mind's eye, I had an expectation of these people I dealt with. Later on, I actually was promoted from counter salesman to outside salesman. So now I not only talk to these people on the phone, but I got a chance to go meet the people I'd been talking to for years. Just say, I never once was right. Never once. Never once. When I began to go visit these people, they were nothing like what I expected. They never looked the way I expected them to, and I learned a valuable, valuable lesson. Expectations can be misleading. Some of you younger folks may know, I'm going to put it in another term. Some of these millennials will know what catfishing is. I know I ain't talking about going fishing. Catfishing is when you think you're talking to somebody, maybe a young girl or somebody, and actually you're talking to a 40-year-old man that lives in his mother's basement online. That's what's called catfishing. Expectations can be misleading. We can be chained by our expectations. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35, the characters in this story deal with their expectations of Jesus, of John, and of what God is doing. The sermon will look at John's expectations of Jesus in verses 18 through 23. The people's expectation of what a prophet should be in 24 through 30. And finally, what Jesus says about misleading expectations in the rest of the verse. By examining each aspect, we're going to look and see. And if we're not careful, we too can be chained by our expectations. We will expect God to work one way, and He works another. Amen. Now let's look. John's expectations. Look in verses 18 through 23. It says, first, it is important to notice that John's question in verse 19, he asks, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? If you were here last Wednesday night, you realize that Lord Jesus Christ is a whole lot more than what we take it at face value. The Jewish people, or the Hebrew people, had been looking for an anointed Messiah, the anointed one. The Messiah, we call it Messiah. And the Greek translation would be Christus, and that's where we get Christ, Jesus Christ, the expected one, the anointed one. They had been looking for this person. And notice, he asked, he said, are you the expected one? John had expectations, and all those people around had expectations on what the Messiah, the anointed one, would look like. Of course, many different opinions were formed on how this coming deliverer would look and behave. Matter of fact, I believe wholeheartedly the reason why Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, I know it was prophesied and ordained that way, was simply because Jesus began to talk about dying, and Judas wanted an earthly deliverer. He wanted someone to run the Roman soldiers out. Matter of fact, per the prophet Daniel, and you can search this out in Daniel chapter 9, the timing was right for this expected one. We know that Daniel had the 70 weeks prophecy, and that's basically 490 years, a poetic way of saying 490 years. And he got very specific. He said there's going to be 483 years from when Artaxerxes says rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah is going to show up. And that's the reason why all the magi in the West was looking for this for the star and all these things. They were all expecting. Jesus was not the only one at this time to claim to be this Messiah. They were looking. And John was saying, look, are you the one that we are expecting? Now, John the Baptist dealt with the people's expectations by pointing to Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. However, you know, at this time, Herod has locked him up in prison because John was pretty bold about him being married to his sister-in-law. Now, why would John the Baptist now be questioning whether Jesus is the one? I want you to flip back in Luke chapter to Luke chapter 3. I want to just point out something. And you know, I believe that maybe he was had some expectations. See, they thought that the Messiah was supposed to come up and be run all the enemies out. The Messiah was to be a deliverer, to be a... and they pictured him as being... That's the reason why the Jews did not receive Jesus, because he was dying on a cross, not coming and conquering and running out all the people, all the enemies of Israel. Now, he will do that. Amen? They just had expectations. They were chained by their expectations. Look in verse 17 of chapter 3. John the Baptist begins to talk about, he's talking about Christ and about the one being baptized that's mightier than he, that he's not able, worthy to take the shoes off. In verse 17, he says, his winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly cleanse, clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat in his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus that he didn't come, the Father didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, that through him the world might be saved. See, I believe John may have misunderstood or had expected Jesus to come. Even the disciples, when he rose from the dead in Acts, they said, are you going to set up your kingdom now? And he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has set. So could it be this passage, just one verse, shows that John seen him as coming with judgment. And guess what? It didn't really look like he was judging folks. He was healing folks and things like that. And he said, am I expecting another? He didn't. Maybe that John expected Jesus to be this judge. And he will come as a judge as the second time. A lot of the prophets didn't realize that there was a first advent and a second coming, or second advent, first coming and second coming. Jesus came as a Savior the first time. The next time he's coming as judge. Amen? Are you with me? Could it be that John misunderstood and maybe was chained to his perception of Jesus being this coming king and conqueror? Now, he was. He did set up his spiritual kingdom. He was the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But it was set up in a spiritual... Remember when Jesus was questioned, he said, hey, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it had been, I could have told them to fight, and they would have fought. Many of them were looking for this military leader to throw out the Romans. Notice that John almost missed it by his expectations. Almost missed it. Now let's go a little bit further. And verses 24 through 30, there's two groups of people. There's common people with the tax collectors or sinner folks. And then there's the Pharisees, the religious nuts of the day. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? All right, okay. I'm just making sure. I was going to stare at the baptistry in just a second and preach to it. Amen. Jesus addresses a misguided expectation. Now, look what he does in chapter 7. He goes in verse 24. He goes and he asks a question. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? Somebody with nice clothes and... No. See, John the Baptist, for many folks, did not fit their expectations of a prophet. If you go back, he wore camel's hair, he ate a locust and wild honey. He was a wild man. He was a madman, or what some people would think. He would be like these people that stand out and you know, kind of rut the sidewalk prophets, so to speak. He's out there, they're unkempt and you know, and just wild-eyed, and they would stand there and preach the truth. Well, he don't act like a preacher. He don't even have a tie. I've had one person tell me that a preacher should not have a beard. They didn't expect a preacher to have a beard. I tell them, look, the greatest preacher of all time had a beard. And I got Bible proof because they said it ripped it out. He didn't fit the expectations of the people. Notice what he does. He goes through these questions and he said, yes. He finally says, you come out and seen a great prophet. A great prophet. And notice in verse 29. It says, when all the people heard and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice. God's justice, that's the same word. It's the same Greek word that is translated, vindicated in verse 35. It actually means to be righteous or declare righteous. He says, he said, the folks, the ones that nobody looked at, the outcast, the low down society, they actually got God's plan right. They said, I see God's justice and righteousness in this man's message. They were the ones that went and got baptized. Notice that the Pharisees said that they rejected God's purpose. Now, see, our expectations can lead us, and I'm going to tie this all together. Y'all looking at me and say, man, this is a lot of stuff, but a lot of facts and figures, and I'm going to tie it all together, and you're going to see exactly what it means to be chained by your expectations. The religious folks did not acknowledge God's justice. They actually rejected John the Baptist, and by rejecting John the Baptist, they actually rejected Jesus. Because John didn't fit their mold of expectation, and Jesus, certainly somebody born at nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Surely one born in a cow trough or a manger, surely he's not God, he's not the expected one. Surely it's not that way. And they rejected him. And they received judgment because of this. See, the religious people were chained to their expectations. And the other folks, they actually learned that Jesus and John were both sent by God. See, some of you might be facing some things that you don't realize. Surely God's not working this way in my life. Surely God's not in this. But guess what? Don't be surprised when He shows up in the unexpected. Now, let's look a little bit further in verses 31. It says, to what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? And he goes and he says, basically, he said, you know what? I can't, either way, John came and he wasn't eating and drinking wine, and you called him and you said he had a demon. He was unkempt, his hair, his wild man out there. And I love John when he calls folks, you brood of vipers. To the religious. So he just called folks out. He was rough around the edges. He was not exactly what they expected. And then he said, you rejected Christ. He said, you said the Son of Man when he came. Either way, I didn't fit the expectations. The prophet that come before me didn't expect meet your expectations. And now I don't meet your expectations. They were chained by their expectations of what they thought God should be doing. See, the Apostle Paul captures many of the Jews' perception of Christ when he says, for indeed the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. You know, there's people today that just will not accept Jesus Christ because he doesn't fit their mold. And I want to say this, are you following the true Jesus, or are you following the Jesus that you've imagined in your head? See, because, oh, come on now. Many of us worship at an altar to a God that does not exist. Because we have created God in our own image. But my friend, we are created in His image. And He tells us what is good and what is bad, what is sin and what is not. How many times have you heard people say, well, God told me that, you know, I could do this, and it is direct violation of His Word. My friend, you have a wrong expectation of God. People say, well, God wants me to be happy. No, my friend, God wants you to be holy. Oh, that wasn't even in my notes. John came in one fashion and you rejected him. I come in another, and you rejected him. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, look, he said, we played a happy song, you didn't dance. We played a dirge, old sad song, and you didn't weep. You bunch of church folks. Come on now, amen. Amen. We got it happy, you didn't like it. Come on now. We're fitting to tie it all together, folks. Remember, the key verse is, blessed is he who does not take offense to me. Verse 23. Notice after John asked him, are you the expected one? The key verse in this whole thing is, blessed is he that does not take offense in me. You know how people take offense in Christ is because he's not what they expected him to be. He was meek and mild. Yet wisdom is vindicated of her children. The last verse. Often we allow our expectations to change our perception of God. And this is where it gets real here. We've been talking about John the Baptist. We've been talking about sinners and tax collectors. We've been talking about Pharisees and scribes. But my friend, now we're talking about us. We let our perception, our expectations, to change our perception of God. If Jesus was really the Son of God, he would fill in the blank. Or, what about this? I've had a friend, an acquaintance, told me one time when we were growing up, he said, I became an atheist because when I prayed to God, God did not answer me. Maybe he didn't answer the way you expected him to. See, if we're not careful, we'll let our expectations of God get us discouraged. God said, guess what? He didn't say that it was going to be tiptoe through the tulips with Jesus, but he did promise that he would walk with you through the valley. We may expect God to carry us and not have any trials or tribulations in our life, but my friend, that is a lie from hell. If Jesus was really the Son of God, he wouldn't let me be going through this. Often we allow our expectations to color our awareness of God's love for us. If God really loved me, he would fill in the blank. He wouldn't let me go through this. He wouldn't let me face this. He would have let this person live, or that person live, or this, or that. And my friend, if we're not careful, just like Martha did when she told Jesus they had been waiting 4 days and her brother was laid up in a tomb, half rotten, said it stinketh. I love the King James, he stinketh. Some of you, and notice what Jesus said. He said, hey, where have you laid him? Oh, he's been there 4 days. He stinketh by now. You know what? Some of us need to put down our expectations and go take our problems and let Jesus get a hold of our stinking situations where he can resurrect it the way he wants it. If you would have been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. Notice God has a different way of doing things. Oh, Jesus walked up and he said, oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you for allowing this. And notice this, Jesus could have, he done told him, he could have went, he just kind of moseyed on around. He delayed his arrival. Have you ever been there where, when you expected God to show up, and it seemed like, well, when's he going to show up? And it come up after the fact. But Jesus showed up and said, you know what? I thank you, Father, because guess what? Now, a bunch of folks is going to realize who I am. You know, it's not about us. It's about him. Don't let our expectations color our awareness of God's love. You know what proves God's love for you? He was nailed on a cross, bled and died, and said, this is for you. You know what? If he doesn't do anything else for us again, being nailed to a cross and saying, it is finished, reconciling us with God the Father that we were separated from. He's done enough. Isaiah says it this way. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and maketh it bear and sprout, and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. What are you trying to say, Brother Kevin? Simply put, we need to trust God and not your understanding. Amen. You know what? There's some things in my life that I've experienced that I did not understand and still don't understand. Amen. And I expected God to work a certain way, and He didn't work a certain way. But He still worked. Amen. Amen. How many is going through something right now that you don't understand? Raise your hand. Some of y'all that didn't raise your hand don't even know that you're going through something. Amen? Amen? Pastors go through stuff. Pastors' wives go through stuff. Pastors' wives go through a lot, y'all. They got to put up with the pastor. See, y'all get to go home. Y'all thinking, see, I know it's a little after 12, but see, she lives with me. Amen? Y'all get a break on Sunday. She don't. Trust God and not your own understanding. And another thing, don't be chained by your expectations. Let God's name be glorified. Amen? See, what happened with John, and John began to doubt, because he had expectations, and Jesus quite didn't. Now, Jesus said, hey, go tell him what you see, because this is what I'm doing on this trip around. This is how I'm working right now. The Pharisees rejected John and Jesus because they didn't fit. Neither one fitted the bill, but the ones. And there's not many high and noble that are called, but God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Don't be surprised when God takes something that's so far out in left field and says, hey, this is me working. Amen? In other words, not to mix the metaphor too much. Don't be chained by your expectations, but don't put God in a box. Amen? The only limits on God is His self-limitation that He put in His Word. He cannot lie. Amen? He limits Himself, but we should not limit God with our expectations. I want you to stand. Thanks. You know, just like me getting on the phone, talking to somebody that I've never seen, in my mind, I remember, y'all, some of the times I went and talked to these folks. Ed, I'm just going to hang up. His name was Ed. And I had a mental picture, and when I walked in, it was totally different. Totally different. All the different folks I talked to, I had expectations of them. And when I finally got to experience it, they looked different than what I... And see, that's just like with Jesus working in our lives. We may expect Him to do certain things. See, we talked about trials and tribulations this morning in our Sunday school class, about going through stuff. You know what? You know when all of us are praying, Lord, I want to be like You. I want to be like You, Lord Jesus. I want to be... Then guess what? You can expect trials and tribulations. Because Isaiah 53 says that He was a man of sorrows. Amen? But thank God. You know, sandpaper. Have you ever took sandpaper and rubbed it on your skin? Anybody else not smart enough like me to do that? Have you ever done that? Women, y'all got them things that y'all keep in the shower, them little things that you rub your feet with or whatever. You know, what them things called? The emery. Ain't that right? Huh? Microdermabrasion or something like that, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to get that dead skin off. Right? Now, I don't use it. Okay, maybe once. No, just... Actually, you go in there, women, I'm just going to give you some insight. When we walk in, we stand amazed at all the stuff you got on the counter and in the bathrooms. We have no clue what half of that stuff is. Like the little scissor thing that look, that's for your eyelashes. I thought it was some kind of torture device. Have no clue how do you use that stuff. Rub it, it hurts, don't it? Matter of fact, you can sit there and just do this right here, and after you... It rubs, rubs, and rubs. You know, I can keep doing this. It's starting to heat up. You know, that's what trials and tribulations do to us. You know what it's doing? It's getting all that dead stuff off and letting the new stuff come to the surface. See, some of you are going through some things and you're expecting God to let you walk through this earth and not have a care in the world. But let me tell you something. Sometimes God lets you go through trials and tribulations because that's the only time you'll call on Him. That's the only time you'll draw near to Him is because when He starts rubbing you. When He starts rubbing you, don't be surprised when God uses the unexpected. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these altars are open. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Father. That He came and He died on a cross for you. And the Bible says that He is the only way to the Father. You cannot be reconciled to God through any other name but Jesus Christ. And these altars are open. The Bible plainly says that you must admit that you are a sinner. We need a Savior. Believe in your heart. And confess with your mouth. Now, that's the Spirit's work in your life. But I want to tell you this. If the Spirit's drawing you, don't walk out. Don't turn your back on Him. The Bible says that His Spirit will not always strive with man. These altars are open. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian. And you're just going through some times and you know what? You don't know and you've got expectations of what your life should be like, what it should be going. But let me tell you something. Don't put God in a box. Don't let it be chained by your expectations. Let Him work. Let His name be glorified. If all minds are clear, Brother Bobby, would you dismiss us in prayer?